Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. It's quarter number one, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. And celebrating the return of the fans, Mark is having a real special deal for that first home game versus Ball State. You rent one RV for the weekend, you get a second one free. That's a two-for-one deal. And for more information, you can go to GoPSURV.com, or better yet, call Mark directly at 800-519-8467. T. Frank, it was an absolutely incredible weekend of commitments at Penn State, wasn't it?
Yeah, it started on Friday and went all the way through the fireworks on Sunday night for the 4th of July with 3 4-star defensive linemen committing all on the same day. So, a very productive weekend for Penn State as they kick off July.
And I'll tell you what, after all those commitments this weekend, I would think our listeners right now, they're saying to themselves, boy, I wish there was someone who has broken down the video of these players and could give me a scouting report. T. Frank, do we have anyone like that?
Let me go check. I'll be right back. No. Yes. It's my time to shine. I was spending all weekend in the lab watching film, searching grainy high school videos on different websites and YouTube, and finding the little nuances that make all these players tick. And what I think is important is telling you, kind of giving context to the star ranking of, is this a guy with upside? Is this a guy who's ready to play right now? What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? What do you think his ceiling might be? I think we can get some good information on all of that. But one caveat is, these are all very young football players, and the development process can be unpredictable at times. So these can be seen as generalizations, but not everything works out the way you think it will. And we'll get into that with one of the guys in Tyrese Freerby that I think is an interesting prospect at the defensive end position that I think has a little more boom or bust than the rest of them.
All right, we're going to get to Freerby, and we're going to get to all of them. I'd like to do these in order of their commitment. So that means we're going to start with J.B. Nelson. But before we do that, T. Frank, could you tell our listeners where they could find your videos? Because I saw some absolutely great stuff. You, in your videos, you talk about the same players like we're going to talk about today, but with the added benefit of the video. So where could our listeners find your stuff?
Yeah, so I've migrated to the third different YouTube page in less than 6 months. My work has now been picked up by Blue White Illustrated. So I've been working with BWI for 2 years now, and we've reached an agreement where they're going to take my YouTube scouting videos, and I'll also be starting a show for them as well. So some big things coming to that YouTube page in the near future, but this weekend we kicked it off with 5 different recruiting videos on all the guys we're going to talk about. J.B. Nelson, I think, is a really interesting one, and I'm interested to watch his development over the next couple of years.
Well, let's start with there, and T. Frank exercising his free agency status, going to the highest bidder. Love it, T. Frank. But let's start, like you said, with J.B. Nelson. He's a junior college tackle, listed at 6'6", 310 pounds. And just, again, watching the video as you presented it, boy, he's a big dude.
He is. He's a really big dude, and he is really athletic despite his size. And I say despite because I think that there's a body transformation that needs to happen. I don't think. He needs to transform his body over the next year, year and a half, because you see on film, the quickness and the movement skills are a little bit hidden because it seems like he should be faster than he is. The 320 pounds, he's pretty top heavy. So that means that that's not all good weight. And if you look at the proportions of his body, he needs to shift some of that weight south, get a little stronger and bigger in his lower half, and kind of trim down that bad weight that Dwight Galton, James Franklin talk about. The reason that's the case, and the reason I'm not worried about it as far as a work ethic or anything, this is a guy who graduated from high school, had to go to the JUCO route for class necessities, didn't have a chance to enroll on campus because of COVID, so he spent his entire first year until January at home, had no access to, you know, a professional or a college strength and conditioning program, got through one session at Lackawanna, and then started, won a starting job. So this is a guy who's very athletic, and a little bit of that is hidden by all of that situation. But if you watch his movement skills, his flexibility, he doesn't lose despite all of this stuff. What I think might be a little bit of a handicap, he doesn't ever lose. And when you think about what he could be once all of that quickness and power and strength and length are accentuated, he might be one of the most physically talented interior linemen that Penn State has had in recent memory. I think as a prototype, going back to what you saw from Connor McGovern as far as the full package of length, strength, and movement skills, I think he might be one of the better ones they've gotten recently.
So despite the fact that on the video he was playing tackle and he's 6'6", which is, and has length, which is what you typically think of for a tackle, you see him moving to the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah, and part of it is so... The heights and weights are always a little variable. I've seen him anywhere from 6'5". Lackawanna had him listed at 6'6". And by the way, like when I was in high school, we measured with our cleats on because my coach said, you're playing in cleats, so I'm going to measure you in cleats. So I was 5'10 in high school, and I have not been 5'10 since. So just when it comes to those things, take it with a grain of salt when you look at the heights and weights. But when it comes to his length, his arm length, his reach and all of those things, he's a very long player, but the foot speed and the lateral quickness, I think even if he's in shape, I don't see him as a tackle because I don't see that the overt explosiveness in a lateral sense. All of it's very good. There are no hindrances, but as far as that, you know, special sort of movement skills that you want as a tackle, I see him more as a power player on the interior. You know, I don't know that there's necessarily a difference, but right guard is traditionally where you put your strongest offensive lineman. That's your best run blocker for an interior player. And that's where I think he projects best as a road grading right guard with length and power and quickness to execute any block. So this is a guy who's big and long, but I think can still be effective in zone systems where you need to have the quickness to get across the face of defensive tackles and get that reach block. I think he can still do all that stuff. So he's a very high ceiling prospect, in my opinion.
It's fascinating to me, T. Frank, you talk about exaggerating heights and weights like when you were in school. When I was in school, I was once listed in the program at 6 foot tall. And if anyone knows me, it's an out and out lie. I'm not quite 6 foot tall. Anyway, one of the things I found fascinating, and I wrote down in my notes watching the video that you were showing, I literally wrote down big dude. And it wasn't until you in your video when you talked about his lower half that I noticed, yeah, it does seem like all the bulk is in the upper half. As someone who works out that I know you do, how easy is it for them to make him stronger in the lower half? I know we look at Saquon Barkley and even Miles Sanders and Journey Brown and what the Penn State program did for them in the lower half. How about a guy like Nelson? Will that be something for Dwight Gulp to easily work on?
So easily is, it's entirely possible. It takes time. So that's the thing. It takes time and it takes dedication. Is it easy? It takes a lot of effort. So if that exertion is natural for you, then yes. And the reason I'm not concerned about it is he doesn't seem like he's a guy that doesn't put effort in on the football field. And he doesn't seem like a guy with his technique. Because one of the things I thought was really impressive is he executes all his blocks correctly. So this is a guy who, despite the fact he hasn't really been on campus anywhere, was working on or learning technique somewhere. So all of that is evident. The work ethic, you can see little seeds of it in his tape. You can see context clues about the work ethic. So that is not, I don't think, a problem. And when you have the work ethic and the knowledge that Penn State has when it comes to developing athletes, it should be something he can do. And then it becomes, how does his body respond? Are there any setbacks? And can he be consistent in his weight training program, all of those things, the bulk of the evidence says that Penn State can churn out really good athletes, so I don't have a concern about that. And what I see on tape tells me he's going to make that happen, but it will take time. This is a guy who's going to redshirt. I don't think that there's any doubt to me that right now through whenever he gets on campus and then beyond, he needs that time to change over his body.
All right, let's quickly get to the next commit, which was Philadelphia linebacker Keon Wiley. He was a three-star, I'm saying linebacker, even though in the video, much of what he was doing was playing defensive end, and he was doing it at 6'3", 210. He looked small on the field at defensive end at 210 pounds.
Yeah, and so this is another project linebacker transition that Brent Pry and James Franklin are going to attempt, where they had pretty good results the last time moving I wouldn't even say undersized defensive end of Micah Parsons, but a defensive end with speed and the technique and natural affinity for getting to the football to linebacker. So I think going forward, you're trying to project the skills that he has now to a different position so it can be a little bit more murky. But I do think when it comes down to his hand usage, his block shedding, and his tenacity and his length and his strength, all of those things project really well to the linebacker position. And I do think his ceiling weight-wise is probably not going to be 250, 255. He's probably going to be an ideal size for a linebacker. So that going forward makes sense to me. And I think he's a good candidate for that conversion, which is rare to move away from the football over time. You have to be a good athlete to do that. And I think he has all the athleticism he needs.
Again, when you watch the video and see his size, it looks like a linebacker size instead of a defensive lineman size.
But he plays strong, and that's one thing. Sorry to cut you off. That's one thing that I think is important to check the box. If you're undersized but you're still winning blocks, that's something he does really well. So that natural strength, he uses leverage in his hands really well. All of that translates to a different position where he's going to be an above-average strength linebacker because he was a strong defensive end despite his size. That's a key to me of that transition is he's got the strength to go with the speed.
A lot of folks concern themselves with stars. They see three-star. They say not necessarily, would rather have a four-star there. But is this a case sometimes, I'm using the phrase, out of position? As a defensive lineman, he's probably a three-star. But if he were playing linebacker in high school, he might be rated a four-star.
Possibly, and that's where the positional skills are a complete unknown because Micah Parsons made it to the NFL, and I still don't know if he's a good coverage player. He's got the speed and the movement skills, but does he have the intuition to play in coverage? And we've seen Brandon Smith, who had the speed and the movement skills and was a five-star linebacker, who just didn't quite have the intuition and the instincts to play in coverage. So we'll see. That part, I think, is unknown.
Okay, that is it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, guess what? We're going to continue the scouting reports. Stay tuned. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.